How many of them want to teach people, tell people things, and want to be a leader to have the attention of the people and the support of the people, and yet they themselves are like little children in diapers? They don't hardly know their right hand from their left, and they just have an ambition to be heard and seen and to tell them what they know when they don't know nothing to tell them, because they themselves are not living right. They are not living right. They're not doing right. They're not dressing right. They're not talking right. They are not in honor of the ministry or the word. They are not in conformity as to the way of God. And yet they're wanting to do these things. It's so childish. It's so unreasonable. You know, here's a man like Paul that spent all of his life in study. And then after that had to spend 3 years or more in the Arabian desert before he still understood anything as to tell the people. Because after all of the years of his study, he was killing the church, persecuting the church, wasting the church. He testified himself and said, I persecuted and wasted the church of the living God. Said, I'm less than nothing. And then after numbers of years with God, even after all of his study, he finally come into some understanding. And here you are, hardly out of your diapers, and you're talking about leading people and telling people. And it's just an ambition, folks. It's just a fleshly zeal, an ambition. God isn't anywhere within 100 million miles of it, as we say. And you're doing these things when what you need to do is get a good born-again experience, get filled with the Spirit, settle down, learn the Word of God. And when you learn the Word of God, most likely after you learn it, you'll give up your zeal for the ministry and everything else, because you'll realize what a minister is and what the ministry is, and you won't want no part of it unless you're really called into the ministry. But nevertheless, like I said, this is the day we're living in, just a lot of children like, just running to and fro, playing games, and they don't know what it's all about. Like Brother Branham said one time, he was talking about the ministry, and he said, a lot of you people feel that you want my ministry. He said, you don't have any idea what you're thinking or talking about. He said, this ministry kills you. And it's true. A true ministry kills you. It kills you. You have to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. You have to die daily. You have to swear to your own hurt. You have to do everything, almost everything, contrary to what you'd like to do. And I can tell by many of you talking to you and being around you that you're not going to do contrary to what you want to do. You do what you want to do, and you're trying to work God into your program, and it won't work. I tell you, it won't work. You can, you know, go out and do these things and go around acting like a minister and take the title of a minister and do all kinds of things and catch attention to people and get something going, and you might even make money and get on television. But it still don't mean that you are a minister. It has nothing to do with you being in the ministry. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And how can you speak God's word when you don't even know God's word? All right. Let's read just a little bit tonight. I don't know just exactly where we'll go in what we're speaking of, but I said some things this morning. I just kind of talked with you a little. I didn't get a chance to talk with you much as to what I wanted to talk about, and yet I talked with you a good bit as to some things. Reading in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles, it starts off by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right. Now, right there, we apply that to the children. The children need to obey their parents. They need to honor their parents. For the Bible said, honor your parents, for this is the first commandment with promise. Or this commandment promises you eternal life, or not eternal life, long life, if you honor your parents. It is a promise that has a blessing that goes with it. So, God gives you a promise with a blessing. First commandment of God with promise as to extension of life, if you will honor your parents. But if you do not honor your parents, then you can shorten your days by your disobedience. But this scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we're speaking of the household of faith, and the Bible said that we should provide for the household of faith to seek the kingdom first, God's welfare, and that we should do this. Obey your parents in the Lord. There are parents that are in the Lord. There are, Bible said, and the parents should lay up for the children. And Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. So then there are parents in the Lord. That is, there are people that are developed. There are people that do know things and understand things in the gospel. There are parents that's been called to lead and to guide you and to tell you the right things that you may have the blessings of God and have long life. See, so obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. See, this is right under that. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, a lot of parents don't have enough sense to raise a family. It'd be so much better if they didn't have a family. Because when they whip children, beat children out of their temper. They beat them because they're upset. The children can do things wrong. They won't hit them a lick. But then let the children get on their nerves and they'll grab a belt and they'll beat them like some wild animal. And the Bible said this is common among men, that they chasten children for their own convenience, after their own desire. But the Father of spirits, that we should be subject to him, in that he chastens us for our own good. But it says here, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You know, a lot of people working on the job, they want to hire to you and they want you to pay them a regular salary. But they don't want to honor you. They want to do what they want to. And if you tell them anything else, they just fly off the handle. But it says, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You know, a lot of people that are supposed to be leaders as to bosses, as we say, or contractors or people that are over people, they don't have enough understanding and good common sense to be over anybody. They're brutal. And if you work for them, it's like being in slavery. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. All right, so then Paul says here, for he said, I am an ambassador in bonds. And this for the gospel. He said, so pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to speak or make known the mystery of the gospel. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. So then, great is the mystery of godliness. This is why I say again, when you talk about the ministry, do you understand the greatness of the mystery of God? Do you understand the mystery of Christ? For the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. If you do, then you should be considered for the ministry. If you do not, you don't have any business in the ministry. God is a spirit, and you have to be in touch with the spirit, and you have to know something about the spirit, or how are you going to preach about the spirit? You know, I come here and I preach this word to you, or I tell you about this word. That's something. You know, I can do that. A Sunday school teacher can do that. One of the first jobs I ever had in church was being a Sunday school teacher. And I took the natural word and I talked to them about the natural word. And it was a blessing unto them because I was sincere. But still, that did not make me a preacher. But when the God of heaven called me into the ministry, struck me down, turned me around and called me into the ministry like he struck Paul down and called him into the ministry, then I went to God and I said, God, you've got to give me wisdom. I don't know how to talk to these people. I can't tell these people what to do. I don't understand. And then the Lord told me, said, I will bless you. I will give you understanding. I said, give me wisdom, O God, that I might not lead these people into hell, but that I might lead them into the right thing. Because I do not want their blood on my hand, and I do not want to tell them something and then find out later that I and both have fallen into a problem. And I said, Lord, give me understanding and wisdom. And the Lord did. He opened my heart, and he's never hid anything from me. He always makes me to understand all things. And I thank God who always gives me the victory through Christ Jesus. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in Christ Jesus. And so then he have never withheld anything from him. It doesn't matter what I ask him. It doesn't matter what I go to him about. He always unravels it. He always explains it. He always tells me because I said, Lord, you've got to tell me. I don't know. I can't understand. And Lord, I can do nothing of myself. So you've got to make me understand. If I'm going to tell the people, then how can I tell the people if I don't even know what I'm talking about? How can I explain something? How can a teacher teach someone when the teacher themselves don't even understand? That wouldn't make any kind of sense, now would it? See, I could not teach anybody if I don't understand myself. I must understand myself if I'm to teach another. So I pleaded with God. I begged of God. I said, Lord, please, I beg of you, give me wisdom and understanding and make me to understand so that when I tell somebody something, I'm not just guessing at it or it's not just a hope, but that it's absolutely the truth in God to the best of my knowledge and understanding. And help me to be sincere and to be honest. And Lord, help me to be clean before you from the very intents of my heart and the very reflect of my mind. Not just a day or for a week or a month, Lord, but day and night for the rest of my entire life. And God has stood with me, and God has helped me. I stumble, I stagger, I make mistakes. I need help just like you need help. I'm just a human being like you are. I'm trusting to God just like you are. But folks, there's one thing I know for sure. I prove God. And I prove that God will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I prove that his blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. I prove that he will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I prove that his blessing does make rich in that the Bible said that God gives thee the power to get wealth. I proved all these things. The Bible said prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. And I proved these things. And I proved that his ability to keep me from sin and the evils of this world is sufficient. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I found it to be sufficient. When you wholeheartedly lean on God and trust God, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. If you say that you're leaning on God and you're trusting in God, and all the time you're leaning on your strength and your ability and your talent and your genius of life, or your genius, that is to say, of your own ability, You're going to find out that you're going to fall, and you're going to find out that you're going to have problems. You've got to come to a conviction that you really know there's a living God, and you know that He is present with you every day of your life, and that you actually can lean on Him with a holy, godly, full confidence. And in doing that, you'll find that God will meet your every need. God will meet it financially. He'll meet it physically. He'll meet it spiritually. It doesn't matter what it is. When you solely, confidently, from the depths of your soul, trust Him that He is alive, that He is God, that He is present, a present help in the time of need, that He will work it out, that's faith. And when you do that, it always works. So then, I read to you here, where the Bible said we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. My wrestling is not against you, and your wrestling is not against me. But we are as an interangelic being wrestling against an evil force that is unseen by our natural eye. There is an unseen power. Satan is the prince of this world. And folks, whether you believe it or not, this world belongs to the devil, lock, stock, and barrel. This world is under the control of the devil, and this world is not the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I am not of this world. Ye are of this world. And He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So this world is the kingdom of Lucifer. It is the kingdom of the devil. That's why it's run by intellectual powers. That's why people, through intellectual powers, has given themselves to diplomacies of life, as to the old tree of knowledge, as to practice learning and understanding all the time, ever learning, never able to come to the God knowledge, as to the knowledge of the truth. See, these people are scientifically minded. And these people are indoctrinated of Satan. And they're following the old tree of reasoning and the old tree of knowledge. When the Bible says of us that we walk not by sight, but by faith. And that we are to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. For our weapon of warfare, it's not carnal, as to tanks and planes and bombs and guns and all of these things. I see some of you people that are religious, you just delight over the fact that they drop a bomb on the top of somebody. They blow them up. The guns roar. They say 5,000 people was killed. And I say, good old America. You know, and I think, my lands, how ignorant can you be? God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's people. That's God's creatures. He didn't say, go into all the world and drop bombs on them. He didn't say, mutilate them. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. See, and here we are fighting with the people of the world because we don't preach to the people of the world. We eat, we drink, we make merry. We don't go preach to the people of the world. So then we have to fight the people of the world, and they become our enemies. Well, anyway, we are not of this world. Christ was not of this world. The people that are of this world, they savor the things that be of the flesh. They have the love of the world in them. But we are of the glory world. We are of another world. We are of a heavenly world. And we have the love of God on the inside of us. And we're not of this world. We don't desire the things of this world and the convenience of this world and the comforts of this world. The Bible said it's to the early church that they sold all that they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet. They took up their cross daily and followed after Him. And they shared what they had with the widows and with the orphans and with the needy. See, and they took to the spoiling of their goods, knowing that they had a greater substance in heaven, and this as that given to them of God, because they were another people of another world. They were not looking for the convenience of this world and the securities of this world and the benefits of this world. And today, folks, religious people have gotten themselves into such a rut. It's no wonder there's no power in the church. It's no wonder that we have such problem as to people understanding the gospel, or the many problems that we run into. It's no wonder that we do that, because people of today are so caught away in their little world, in their minds, as to what they want to do. and they are wrestling continually one with another as to striving, envy, strife, malice. Paul said, are ye not yet carnal when these things are among you? When you envy somebody because they've got a nice home or a nice car, or they've got an education, or they've got an income, or they are doing things as to an advantage and they are excelling in the world. He said, are ye not yet carnal? I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. I do not have to worry about things of life. Betty and I started out with a little old junky car and Maypop tires. We started off with nobody to help us. We had a little family. We went strictly by faith, trusting God. Not one time in our entire life did he ever let us go lacking. He always met our needs, whether we were in the United States, whether we were in Canada, whether we were in Mexico, whether we were in Germany, whether we were in South America, Central America, or Africa, or any other part of the world, as to Russia or whatever. He always abundantly, graciously met my needs. As I said, I never had to send back home to ask them to even help me when I was on the field. When whatever I had give out, I never counted my money before I left. As a rule, I never said, Betty, how much do you have, or do we have the money, or whatever. I just said, God told me to go to such and such, and we're going to do it by faith, and we've stepped out, and we've had it that they have actually caught us after that we got on the plane, we're sitting in the plane, and fixing to take off, that God would send somebody and cause them to break through the line and get in there to us to give us an offering, trusting God all the way, going by faith. Going to the foreign countries, take 11 or 12 people. All of their money give out by faith. Feed them, take care of them, bring them home. Every one of them, when they didn't have anything and no place to eat and no place to get it. See, by faith in God, because God is true. God's word is true. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it just makes you an unbeliever because it's true anyway. See, and so then I find that God is real. God is true. We say that we believe God. We tell each other that we really believe God. We really believe God. But if we're out of work about 2 days, we start getting nervous. And the wife said, well, I just don't know what we're going to do. And the husband said, well, I don't know what we're going to do either, you know. And if you're out of work for about a week or two, whereas I didn't have any work, period. Day after day and year after year, continued to travel, continued to eat. I still had to send my children to school. I still had to take care of the bills, whatever. And I always did by the help of God. You know, but the thing is, you out of work for 2 or 3 weeks, I would hear ministers. During that time, they would come to me and talk to me. And they'd wring their hands and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'd say, well, what's wrong? They'd say, well, man, I ain't been in revival for 3 weeks. Man, I got to get some money. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to have a revival. Well, no need to get frustrated. You know, just talk to the Lord about it. He promised to meet our need. He didn't say that he'd meet all of our needs if we stayed in revival, or if we kept a job, or if we worked for a certain person, or if we'd done a certain thing, or if we had securities or whatever. That's the thing that displeased him in the wilderness when they tried to pile up everything, hold the hidden manna over it, bred worms. God doesn't want that kind of thing. When you do that, you're carnally minded, you're intellectual. I know we've got people, you know, that takes the extreme as to say, well, God's going to take care of me. I just don't believe in working. I don't think I have to work. God's going to take care of me. And as a consequence of that, they end up being a leech. They end up ruining their name. They end up in a terrible, complex situation of life because they don't have any understanding and any integrity with God or man. But folks, God doesn't condone laziness. I've said this a lot of times. Women that don't watch their children, they could care less where their children go. They don't know where they're at any time of the day. They just trust the luck and they say, my child will be all right. God will take care of him. I tell you again, God will not take care of him. God cannot take care of him because, first of all, God cannot condone your foolishness. He cannot condone your lethargy. He cannot condone your understanding. And if he takes care of your children and you being in that kind of condition, then he is partakers of your wrong and he is an accessory after the fact as to your neglect and unconcern. God can't do that. But I say this to a little mother that will do her very best to raise her children right, to watch after her children, to watch after them, to know where they go, to know what they are. My wife has been that kind of mother. I promise you that in doing that, God will watch after your children. He'll take care of you. He'll keep them from the detriments of life. He'll keep them from getting hurt when they would get hurt. He'll supply all of your needs because you're not lazy and careless. You're willing to make your effort when God puts something before you, or God opens up something, or God tells you where to go or what to do. You're willing to work and do whatever you can. God will never let you go lacking, never in your entire life. But folks, this other thing of just lounging around and trusting to luck, you're going to be from one person to another. You're going to leech, and you're never going to be the kind of person that'll have a decent name, where the Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You'll never have a good name. You'll never take care of that little wife. You'll let her go hungry about half the time, and the children be in need about half the time. And it'll always be a nagging from her or something from you, and you'll always be crossed up because you're just plain lazy. The Bible says that they built the walls back because they have a mind to work. Someone would say, well, don't you think ought to seek God? I definitely do. Well, don't you believe, Brother Pike, if I put my time in seeking God, He will meet my needs? I definitely do. If you're willing to pray all day and fast all day and pray all night and fast all night and study all the time, just constantly praying and fasting and studying, coming to God and doing what you can, God will meet your needs. Did you know, I noticed that even kids that go to college, that try to learn just in the natural, they just try to get them a little job on the side. And I noticed that God, even at that, He suffers their needs to be met. He's not in agreement with many things that they do, but He suffers their needs to be met because they are studying all the time. They're applying themselves all the time as to whatever their cause might be in life. And they will be some benefit as to the natural society of life. And these places do have to be filled during the time of the transition of our life. So God, He suffers these things. See, and folks, when you get to the place to where you think you're just going to sit around, you're not going to study your Bible, you're not going to pray, you're not going to fast, you're not going to do anything, you're just trusting to luck, everything's going to be all right, because you say God has called you to do something and that you're not supposed to work, that's absolutely childish and foolishness. So then we find that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against spirits. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling against these demon powers. I say again to you tonight, as I did this morning, that these are bodily spirits. Bodily spirits, fallen angels that are drifting around, as you say. The very day is evil with these. Satan is the prince or the ruler of this world and of the darkness. He is the ruler of darkness. God put him out of the light and made him the ruler of the darkness. He is the ruler of the darkness. Now, when we say darkness, what do we mean? I say again, you know, as to you and I, darkness means turn out the light and you can't see because everything is dark. See, but that's not what it is. Darkness is ignorance. It's intellectual brilliance in this world. When you are intellectually brilliant, the Bible calls that foolishness. And it said, by their wisdom, as to their brilliance, they knew not God. They did not understand God. So it pleased God that through ignorant men like fishermen, that through the foolishness of preaching, that He would win the world. Because the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, no matter how learned he is in the world. They are foolishness to the natural man, and he cannot know them, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. And the Bible said, when the things of God come, that man will never see them, as to his eyes of understanding being darkened. This great light, as to the knowledge of this understanding, shines in the midst of this human reasoning as to darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But you comprehend the height and the depth and the width and the length of this great light, the Bible said, in your eyes of understanding being enlightened. But they cannot see when good comes, as to Satan being the ruler of darkness. Satan is the ruler of science. He is the ruler of education. He is the ruler of intellectual brilliance. So then, all of these things are under the control of Lucifer. All of these things. And this is what Satan said to Eve. Go ahead and eat, he said. For God does know in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Partake of the old tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, I say again, They could not get any good. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they could not get any good because they already had good. All they could get was evil. And Satan wanted them to get the evil so that he could make way for himself to get into their human bodies, take them into captivity and control them, because his desire as to these bodily spirits is to put as many of these into human bodies as he can, with a desire for things of the world and the talents of the world and all of the abilities of the world and the science of the world, so that he can have a great mighty people to rule over and have these people to take control over the natural, tangible side of life. See, and right now this world is under the curse. And the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then, we're to come out of the world. We are to be a separate people. If you have the desire and love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there. See, but God is trying to take the human body because he made it for himself. And that he has the great spirit to live in it is the abundance of living. The abundance of life. Jesus said, the Prince of Life, I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. See, and the body is the Lord's, and it was made for the Lord. And the dispute between Lucifer as the great power of the angelic forces, with a third part of heaven rebelling against God, it is their desire to take over the world, keep these things under their control, to bring them into something called the mark of the beast. Satan has done this down through the years, but it's our job to be filled with the God Spirit and to cast the devils out of these human bodies and redeem these human bodies back to God, letting God's Spirit come into these human bodies to convert their mind and get it away from the natural things of this life and these natural sources that put men into captivity through the intellectual depraved mind of the human reasoning as to the tree of knowledge. See, I say again, as to Eve, here she partook of this evil and Satan came right to her. And then as giving it to Adam and Satan came right to him. And today, they having been brought out of the garden, put out the expulsion, then all of a sudden now, as from that time on, their children die. Though to them their children were alive, but their children die. In Adam, all die. In Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, the first fruits of them that slept, all of them are made alive as to eternal life. So then we know that the children of this world are in intellectual darkness. They cannot comprehend this light. They do not understand this light. They are religious. They know the Bible. They studied the Bible in college. They know the Bible. But that doesn't mean that they have faith in the Word, nor does it mean that they have eternal life. The Bible does not teach that life is in the Bible. It said this life as to eternal life is in the Son, which is in the Spirit. He that was made a quickening spirit. And this life as to eternal life is in the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. And the Bible said there's one Spirit. And if you have not his Spirit as to the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you have not eternal life. So then I know you say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Pike. It doesn't matter if you are a believer. I tell you, the Bible teaches this. Not that just to be a believer that you will go to heaven. Not that, I brought it out this morning. But the Bible said, be a doer of the word. Not a hearer only, deceiving your own self, but be a doer of the word. Said, because it is not the hearer, though faith cometh by hearing of the word, it is not the hearer that is justified before God, that is by faith, but it is the doer. Because your faith is proved by what your spirit on the inside does as to manifest its characteristics through this outer individual, as to the life of Jesus Christ being made manifest in your mortal flesh. And so then when Christ's spirit is seen within your bodily features and your bodily activities as a daily conforming, as a daily doing, then it proves that you have his spirit on the inside, which proves that you have faith in the word, and through that faith that has sanctified your heart, and then Christ's spirit has come into your heart to dwell there, and it is now as the nature of Jesus Christ making itself manifest in your mortal genes, as to prove that you do have faith and that ye are saved. right, so then we understand then by this that it is going to take doing the word of God. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I called on the name of the Lord. But on the other hand, it says, not everyone that calleth on the Lord to say, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. But he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven, and he that endureth to the end, not someone that's in and out all the time, up and down in religious activity all the time, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So it's very obvious that what God is telling us, that having been called Christians at Antioch, being Christ-like, that if we are a Christian, we will be Christ-like. We will conform to the image, going on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. We will go on to the full reward as to the full measure of Christ Jesus. We will subdue these bodies. We will mortify the deeds of the body. We will try to do the things that please God to assure our heart, to have the confidence that God hears us so we can have the things that we desire of Him. See, folks, so we don't need to be a religious mockery to God. We don't need to get into a religious rut of doing these things religiously. Oh, you say, but Brother Pike, you don't understand. There's Methodists, there's Baptists, there's Catholics, there's Presbyterians, there's Pentecostals, there's all kinds of people. I do understand that. I'm acquainted with them. I preach to, I guess, all of them at one time or another. I understand that, folks. But that don't have nothing to do with salvation. Pentecostal don't have nothing to do with salvation. Pentecostal churches, Catholic churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, any kind of church, it has nothing to do with salvation. The Bible teaches that you must be born again. You must be born again or you will never even see the kingdom of God. Now, can you have a birth and it not be a stillbirth? Except that the Spirit be there? Doesn't a child have to have the Spirit of life in him? Or isn't it a stillbirth? Can you then be born again and not have the Spirit of Christ? There's no way. How could I be me without the inter-nature of me and the inter-spirit of me? You are of your Father's nature. Naturally speaking, you take on your Father's image because a nature creates conformity. And we are partakers of the divine nature of our Heavenly Father. Whereas you that reject God are partakers of your father the devil. For the devil is your father, Jesus said, and his will you will do. Because you've got his nature, you've got his characteristics. You've got his mind, you've got his desire, you've got his hunger, you've got his thirst. But the Bible said when you thirst after the righteousness and you hunger and thirst after the things of God, then you shall be filled with God and with the Spirit of God. Then will you have this wonderful nature and blessings of God. And I'll give you all things that pertain unto life. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. I will make you as a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters, to bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. So then, folks, we can see, as I said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against one another, but we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness that's got up into these religious heavenly high places because of the grace as to the blood on the seat of atonement. And because of this, then that means that we are wrestling against those powers. See, and you must have Christ's strength. For the Bible said God has delivered us from him, even Satan, that one that is stronger than we. So through faith, then we are delivered from Lucifer. And we should claim this victory by faith, being the stronger, because we are now one with Christ, who hath defeated Satan, having overthrown his kingdom. You love the Lord? Well, we could go on and go on talking about the wonderful things of God. Tonight, this was real simple preaching. Just a little bit of exhortation as to help you to understand better who you are and what you are and what you must do as to prove this. The Bible said, prove these things. Hold fast to that which is good. And if you can do these things, ye shall never fall. If your nature will produce these things that I'm telling you, people may desire your fall, but you will never fall. It's utterly impossible for you to fall, for he that is born of God cannot sin. God's seed, as to Christ the Word, remains in him. His faith purifies him and justifies him under all conditions. And there is no way that he can ever sin against God as to fall. All right, let's stand together. I hope we've said some little something tonight that's beneficial to you. Children, honor your parents, whether parents in the Lord or parents at home. It'll make your life long on the earth. And come into the house of God with thanksgiving. Know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth. Try to come together to worship God, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, going on to a full reward in the Lord. Come together as the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular, to be one mind and to be one accord, that God may have control as to the supremacy of his mind. I've tried not to forget what I'm supposed to do, but I thank God for reminders and different things that people does or say. I promise tonight that all of them that wanted to be reunited in the sense of taking their vows again, that I would talk with them. Some are married by justice of the peace. Some are married by different people outside of ministers, and it troubles them. The Bible said, whatever the minister binds together, that is to say God, whatever I bind together. And that this should not be interrupted in life, but a lot of things that people do on their own. So tonight, we're going to try to remember that. I asked this morning if you're going to get married. I'd rather you'd go somewhere and get married, and we're doing this as a thing for them that have already been married and wasn't married by a minister. As I said, it would be valid if I married you tonight. Lawfully, I can do it. Godly, I can do it. It would be valid. But in the first place, in your ritualistics of life as to your formalities, you're supposed to have a marriage license. And you're supposed to have somebody to sign the marriage license. And all these kind of things. Whereas in God's sight, all that's foolishness to him. But nevertheless, he allowed in the days of Israel even to the writing of divorce. And through your intellectual, natural ritualistics as to whatever you're brought into bondage to, you know, we just have to go along with it as to say, Jesus said they're taking this tribute of strangers, but nevertheless, to keep from offending them, go ahead and pay the taxes. So that we can shine as a light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. Today is Father's Day, and I certainly appreciate your consideration. I got several cards that came in from one here, one there, that acknowledged today is Father's Day to me. Whereas I was telling my wife, I said, these things I just don't practice, Betty, because my children are too busy. They've got their lives to live. They've got things to do. And people have things to do. And I can't remember to give everybody here that's a father a card. And on Mother's Day, you can't remember to give everybody a card on Mother's Day. You couldn't afford that. Someone said, well, I think we can in our community. Well, what are you going to do about the people around the world? There's mothers all over the world. So you can't do that. It's just ritualistics of life. And they got Father's Day and Columbus Day and this man's day and that man's day and this holiday and that kind of day. And that's just, you know, but I do thank God that once in a while God suffers somebody to do that as it's an inspiration. It inspires and it makes us to appreciate you in the sense that you went out of your way to do something. But I just don't expect that of you. I don't expect things like on Christmas and all these kind of things. Though you treat me real well, I just don't expect things like that. Not even out of my children. Because they got their lives to live. They've got things to do. And I think we should be grown up enough to where we're not childish in these kind of things and realize that we're human beings and we're not of this world. And what we're interested in is not birthdays and holidays and daddy days and Mother's Day. But we are interested in God's day. I asked my wife today, I said, where's God's day? I know we say Sunday, God's day, but you know better than that. People don't do no more on Sunday for God than they do any other day. See, some of them go to church, and that's out of ritualistic, because they don't know anywhere else to go that would be better, so they go to the church. But anyway, that's not the way it is. It should be God's day from morning till night, 24 hours around the clock. It should be God's day. Paul said one time to the Jews, I'm afraid of you, he said, because you esteem one day above another. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, let him regard it unto the Lord. And if he don't regard the day, just forget about it. Why should he regard it? Period. There's no special thing about days anyway. As long as he loves God and serves God, that's all that's important. But folks, there's one thing we do need to do, and that's meditate in the laws of God day and night. Day and night, we should cast down imagination and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. This we should do. No matter what we're doing, if you're working on your job, you should labor that you might have to give. If you're working around the home front, you should be conscientious and have a mind to work and not just leverage you around, you know, but lead others and help others to win souls. You should be busy and about your Father's business. If you have the nature of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, you will be busy all the time for Christ. And you will meditate in His laws day and night. You will pray always. The Bible said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth, because they're going to be horrible. All right, this morning I said something that might have struck a little hard. It might have even stung some people. But I said, I cannot understand about people teaching that you're going to go through the tribulation. If you teach there, I love you. I can understand, you know, that maybe you don't understand. But in the light of the scriptures, if you've really given yourself to God, I can't understand how you could do that. And we mentioned this morning some things that positively shows that to me it would be utterly impossible for the church to go through the tribulation period under those conditions. All right, let's sing together, can we? Let's sing, I love Him. I love Him. Can you sing with me? I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, Lord. Sing that with me. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make it whole. Fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my up and make me whole. One more time. Just fill my cup, Lord. For I lift it up, my Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread I feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Let's sing this song. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my state is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, over my soul. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. That may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing that with me. I need thee, Lord. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Sing like this now. So turn him away. So don't turn him away. Yes, come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Jesus send to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Son to Jesus, and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. I found a new place in the heaven, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies. in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let thy will. The altars are open. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father and the Son. For it's in thy shining glory we can see that Holy One. My hope is to be like Him. So thy will be done. Sing it one more time, can you? So thy will be done, Lord. So let thy will be done. In us the mind of Christ, the Father and the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that I see that Holy One. My hope is to be like Him. So thy will be done. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Changing me. Changing me. Of the glory of His unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Let's sing this little chorus. My heart cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky,
Nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light? Oh, I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. That the lights are on, are ever bright to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and the thousand strings. Earth holds no time since I heard that song. Sweet Beulah Land, it's my home, sweet home. That the lights so home I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high, oh, heaven's balcony, that the lights are on, a welcome sight to me. And he touched me, oh, he touched me. Sing that with me. And oh, joy is that flood my soul. Oh, something happened and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me. For Jesus touched me, oh yes, he touched me. Have you ever had the Lord to touch you? I never forget one night I was down praying. It was over in the morning, and I'd been trying to pray for many nights in succession. Over in the morning, all of a sudden in the morning, I felt something like it fell down around my shoulders like that. And it was like the Lord had walked up and fell down over my shoulders like that. And I could hear it emanating from him as to say, I understand, son. I understand. So wonderful it was. Just a little effort for him and he comes close. So Jesus touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joys that flood my soul, something happened, and now that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Can we lift our hands up together and sing this little chorus? And I will praise him, my praise the Lamb for sin. slain, and I'll yield in glory all ye people, for his blood has washed away.
Can you sing that one more time? Lift your hands and close your eyes.
And I will lift him, my heart will praise and will give. Washed away every stain.
One more time,
and I will praise.
I'm going to ask Dobie to come up, if he will, and dismiss us.
Let's praise that Lamb for sinners. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain.
Let's lift our hands, close our eyes as Dobie comes. Don't forget, as you go on through the week, you need the blessings for the weekend. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. Go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the glories of God, the blessings of God. Tell them how wonderful it is to be a Christian and how happy you are in your newfound way of life. To let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As Dobie comes to dismiss us, don't forget me. Don't forget my wife and children. Don't forget the children of the church. Don't forget the people around the world. The commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't forget David Paul, that's still over yonder in one of those islands, and Thailand somewhere, that should be coming home. Pray for him that God will protect him and watch after him and expedite him. And the thing that he's doing is to the cause of Jesus. And let me say to the ladies and to the men, if you're not doing anything for God, if you don't have any vision, or you don't have any place to go, or you don't have anything to do, there's offices here that are functioning pretty much all the time. And they are in need. On the home front here, there's always something for the men to do and always something for the ladies to do. And if you love the Lord, if you'll get in here with us, you can help send the gospel around the world, and then we'll all be partakers together. If you bid a thing, God speed, you're partakers of it. So then if you'll work with us, if you don't have a church home, if you don't have anything to do, we welcome you to come and be with us. Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, actively engaged in world evangelism, and we are trying to preach the gospel to every creature as much as lieth within us. And we ask you to help us, to stand with us. We need you. God needs you. And we need you. We need one another, especially in the day that we're living in. I'm glad to see Dale that's come to be with us tonight. Always appreciate Dale coming so far to be with us. It's a real privilege to have him. We appreciate you, some of you people coming in from out of state and different places, even as our several sisters that came in on their way to the Carolinas. We appreciate them so much, stopping by Little Bethlehem and being a part of our Christian endeavor and our world outreach for lost souls. May the Lord bless them and strengthen them, and may the Lord bless you and your loved ones and strengthen them in this wonderful conquest for God. Brother, don't be...